Chapter 4. The Struggle. Liza. My life kept getting worse and worse. I tried to go back to college. I tried to find something about me that I could feel good about. There seemed to be no one who cared. Being of no value was devastating, the emotional pain severe. The alcohol and drugs I was using to mask the pain were slowly bringing the bottom up. I found it increasingly difficult to function with everything that was going on at my house. The drug culture friends were running in and out all hours of the day and night. It was exhausting. My precious children were living in a world of chaos and risk. My shame only deepened by my denial of my problems. I reasoned that I had always been able to pay my bills and take care of myself, so everything was fine. I even had a car. The only people who did not see my dysfunction were those I did drugs with. Robert and Charlie were collateral damage. Shame is reflected on the faces of children you love and in the actions of family members that hang on to hope that something, anything, will touch your life and stop the madness of progressive addiction. Certainly, I feel that is where my mom and dad were. Looking back now, I realize I was deaf and blind to my boys. I was an awful parent. My husband and I got divorced, and I found myself in a new relationship with someone who drank as much as I did. I did not hang out with anyone who did not drink or use drugs. I did not want them questioning me. If they did, I kicked them out of my circle. No sober everyday people were allowed. The whole time I was with this new boyfriend, Stephen, I compared myself to him and thought, I am not that bad. He was further progressed than I was, because he would get up in the morning and drink. Not me. I waited until night. Stephen was unemployed. I worked in the bar every day. Comparing myself to him, I felt better. One night, Stephen wrecked my car and I became very upset with him. I gave him an ultimatum. He either had to go to treatment or he had to get out of my life. I reasoned that if I could quit drinking for 2 weeks, then that would prove I did not have a problem. Stephen was the one with the problem. Towards the end of Stephen's treatment, I would go to family day to visit him, reeking of leftover alcohol. The counselor would tell me, "You need to look at your problem." And I thought, "My problem?" I got really angry with my boyfriend and asked if he had been talking about me at the treatment center. When Stephen left treatment, he tried to stay sober. He had a sponsor and he was doing what he was supposed to do, but I continued drinking and using. I remember thinking, I cannot wait until he goes to an AA meeting. I started hiding and sneaking alcohol and drugs. I was not fooling him one bit. I went to my first AA meeting on New Year's Eve with Stephen. I remember thinking, this is a great place for these people. Still, I did not see how progressed my own disease had become. Denial is a powerful symptom of addiction. Denial tells you that you can quit anytime you want. All along the way, I continued to believe that my 2 week period of sobriety was proof that I did not have a problem. I continued to drink. The selfish part of me was hoping that Stephen would join me in drinking again. I came home one day and he was acting very strange. The next morning when I woke up, he was drunk and high. After 5 months, Stephen had relapsed. My children were home, so we all went out driving around Pittsburgh and then cruised around in the country. He continued to drink and became violent. As I was driving down the road, he took his fist and cracked the windshield. I told him our relationship was over. I would not live with the abuse and the terror a second time. Stephen packed up his things and moved out of my life, which accelerated his downward spiral, one that I was powerless to stop. Even though our relationship was over, we had the same circle of friends and we occasionally ran into each other. A few times in moments of weakness, Stephen would spend the night. I think that gave him false hope that we would resume our relationship. This on-again, off-again relationship went on for several months until I got involved with a man that my sister introduced me to. She apologizes to this day for that. Immediately, we had an attraction, an animal magnetism. I remember thinking, this guy has a car and a job. People I dated often lacked both. Our relationship was exciting and electrifying, and we dated for a really short time before we were married. This second husband's name was Travis. Travis had just gotten out of prison before we met, and he was on probation. Early on, we started doing drugs together, and things got really bad. Not any physical abuse, but awful, horrible emotional abuse. During that time, there was a lot of infidelity on his part, which was very painful to me. I felt shamed. Guilt is a feeling that I did something wrong and I can do something about it. But shame is a feeling that there is something wrong with me, that I am flawed and defective. The shame was disabling, and I was only able to dissolve that feeling by more drinking and drugs. 2 months after I married Travis, Stephen's parents knocked on my door. Stephen had killed himself. After the shock wore off, the guilt set in. This was all my fault. Why had I kept up a relationship with Stephen, giving him false hope? The choices in our lives affect others. I believed if I had quit drinking, he would not have relapsed. His death was entirely my fault. My shame and Stephen's parents' comments sent me the same message. The deep pain, shame, and grief turned me into an emotional wreck. Trying to deal with the death of Stephen and my cheating husband, Travis, I started drinking more and doing more and more drugs to numb the emotional pain. I began partying every single night. I was putting Robert and Charlie in dangerous situations and hurting my family members. My mom and dad were so worried about me. They even came to Pittsburgh to intervene. I remember thinking, what do they think is so bad? I have a job. I pay my bills. It is not that bad. Why do they think it is so bad? I was okay, but that is what denial is all about. Then the hammer came down. Things got worse. Ironically, not for me, though. I lived on Denial Street in a filthy apartment near Walmart. Travis's parole officer told him he had to go to treatment. Travis refused unless I went with him. I was afraid that he would end up in jail if I did not go to treatment, too. That is how crazy my thinking was. I went, but not for myself. I went to treatment to take care of him. In my mind, I was not an addict. My life is full of tragedies. I kept my hands in front of my eyes, never contemplating the cost of addiction in my life. I was driving through life in the dark with the headlights off. John's abuse, Stephen's suicide, Travis's infidelities, all horrible events that I never equated to my own addiction. I was okay. I did not have a problem. I went to treatment with Travis because he needed to go. In true addict fashion, I was already thinking about getting my first drink just as soon as we got out.